You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 77. My guest today, Lisa, brings a curious and very intriguing dream that does have some sexual content in it. We are careful with the words, but nevertheless, it has sexual content. And as you'll listen to the interpretation, you'll realize, of course, that what a dream seems to be about is not what it's actually about. Now, we all, because we're human beings, often reference sexual metaphors in our dreams, and these can be very extremely realistic. And so by the same token, many of us are not really that keen to discuss sexual content in our dreams or even to admit to it. So I really love that Lisa has brought this dream to the show to help all of us understand what the sexual nature of some of our dreams really means, and basically how it's all on a much deeper level about our own personal development and wonderful, insightful stuff. So please share this episode widely with people that you know, which is everybody who has occasionally dreams with sexual content, so you can really understand the reap and deep rewarding insights you can get from this kind of dream. Lisa did have some ideas of her own about what a dream was about, and she was correct, and we took them much deeper than that. So you're really going to love that. And just to put you on tenterhooks for a little moment before we bring Lisa's dream to you, I've just had an update from Jennifer. Now, Jennifer was my guest in way back in episode 47. And if you've been following the show for a long time, you may remember that Jennifer reported back just 3 weeks after her dream, after doing her dream alchemy practice with some fantastic results and some changed dreams. And she's now just emailed me a couple of days ago with another update because, you know, this dream alchemy goes on and on and on. You don't do the dream alchemy on and on, but the results unfold in wonderful ways. So she asked me to share this with you. So I did also blog this week, and I'm reading from the blog. So here we go, Jennifer's update. And of course, you can go back to episode 47 and listen to that so that you can compare what she's saying here to the original dream. So I'll read you this, and after that, we'll go straight over to Lisa with her dream. Jennifer was my podcast guest in episode 47. She reported results after 3 weeks, her glimmers of gold, and has just emailed me with her final outcome. Here's the power of dream alchemy in action. And I'm quoting from Jennifer's email. The issue I'd been struggling with when we had our dream interpretation was my work and how best to continue practicing in a viable and enjoyable manner. I had been hoping for salaried work or for a private practice set up with open-minded conventional doctors to help build my practice and teach people about medicine as being integrative, not exclusive. As I was in the middle of deciding to move, I came into contact with a company who went out of their way to bring me on as a salaried employee in the location I have just moved to. Since this is part-time work, I also have the opportunity to start a private practice. As of November, I will be working with my old MD and 3 other physicians in their medical clinic. They are very respectful and supportive of my work and looking forward to an integrative practice. The owners of the clinic have been kind, completely down to earth, and generous. Interestingly, I'm staying in my childhood home as a temporary transitionary space. And since I arrived, the field behind my parents' house has been tilled and bare like in my dream. But the field next to it, the field where for some reason I'd been imagining my beautiful white sphere as assigned in my dream alchemy visualization practice, is full of corn that has gone from green to completely ripe since I arrived. I guess the universe is working with my psyche and our dream interpretation. I'm no longer preaching to the barren lands, but to an area extremely ripe and ready to harvest much earlier than normal. Thank you again for your sharp insight and inspiration. What a fabulous path you've chosen. I'm so glad ours converged. Now, I'm just stepping away from the email for a moment, because when you do dream alchemy, things shift and change in ways that seem to conspire to produce results. And earlier in her email, Jennifer had explained this, and this is what she said. This is what happened in the lead up to her successful outcome. So I'm quoting from Jennifer again. I had to let you know earlier that I was thinking of beginning a part-time practice in the smaller city where I'm from and was feeling very peaceful with that. Also, I'd been having some great changes in my dream life. Since then, the universe decided to help me along with my decision by way of almost slapping me in the face. Within 1 week's time, at the beginning of the summer, a near family member had two separate medical emergencies, while my landlords did a complete flip from their plans and out of the blue informed us they wanted their house back at the end of the summer. So with that, my husband and I decided to move back fully to our hometown to be with family and raise our little one near her loved ones. And that's the end of the quote. So that, as you have seen, is when the magic really started flowing. So thanks, Jennifer, for that update. And remember, you can listen to the original dream at episode 47 there. And other guests often send me personal updates with what's happening. And if you're a guest and you're listening, please remember to do that. And of course, occasionally people like Jennifer say, can you share that with the audience? So that's all wonderful. Now, I know you're waiting for Lisa's dream. So let's continue with the show. Welcome to the show, Lisa. How are you this morning?
Oh, really well, thanks, Jane, and very excited.
It's so lovely, you know, because quite often our guests say, yeah, I'm really glad to be here, but I'm a bit nervous. So it's really lovely to have someone that's, yeah, I'm excited and ready to go.
Most definitely.
I'm excited too, because I love this point when I never, ever know. As with all guests, I have no idea what dream you're going to give me. So over to you, Lisa.
All right. Look, it's a strange one, and it has some very weird sexual imagery in it. But basically, I come into a room, and there's what I know to be a damaged boy on a couch, and there's a couple of young people with him. He's drunk or he's taken too many drugs, and he vomits on himself, milky white baby vomit. And I pick him up, and I carry him very gently to an old-fashioned pedestal type of sink, and I take off his clothes and sponge him down. And my face is in line with the genitals, and so I gently, very maternally perform oral sex on him, not for any sexual pleasure of mine or his, but to restore some sense of masculinity to him, to make him feel confident and manly and desirable. But in doing so, I've made another woman jealous. There's a friend of mine with me, a young woman, and I have to reassure her that I don't want to take him from her, that my actions are only to make him feel better. And we go into another room. I make up a bed for them in a very calm, very soothing, again, quite maternal type of room, like a nursery. And it's decorated in a lot of milky white and pale blue. And I make up a bed for them with very white sheets, and I very tenderly tuck the boy in, and I instruct the young woman to get in, to hold him and snuggle up to him. Then there's another scene where I'm with my mother and my younger brother and sister in this caravan park, and I say to my mother, I'd like to be able to lean on someone, but she ignores me. And I let it go, knowing that she doesn't want to know any more. And she's having a good time. She doesn't want the responsibility of my brother and sister, so it's up to me to take them back home. She's moved in with a man she's found in this very drunken, friendly, casual, relaxed, warm but irresponsible environment of the caravan park. There are people lying around, and they're smoking and drinking, and there are lots of dogs and lots of chatter and music, all wonderfully good-natured, but they are all slackers. And then I see on my way out a group of whitish blobs, and they form themselves into an exquisite Siamese cat, and I understand that this cat will be my constant companion on my journey back home. But in the park as well, there's an eccentric Japanese doctor, an absolute maverick, a really cheeky, odd, wild person. He's a good friend to me, and I'm talking to him about my friend James's infertility, and I ask the doctor if he has tested James's sperm butter for strength. But the Japanese doctor, instead, he leaps up because he wants to show me his own sperm butter. And there's a cupboard next to us, and he hauls out this odd brass contraption with nozzles, this weird machine, and he hooks himself up to this machine, and I look away while he masturbates into it. And then he shows me this palish, oily residue left on a sort of mesh plate on one of the machine's nozzles. And the doctor gives me to understand that this is the sperm butter, and it should smell strong and offensive and overwhelming. But I don't find it offensive at all. It's quite neutral. And then after that, I realized the problem with getting my brother and sister home is that we no longer have a home to go to. Our childhood home is occupied by other people, and I have to find or negotiate somewhere else for us all to live. And finally, for some reason, I need to return to the caravan park. And to get there, I fly over piles of hard rubbish on the nature strip. I'm flying very low, but I still managed to skim across the top of the piles of debris. And that was it.
Oh, that's absolutely fabulous. I love it.
It's very hot, isn't it?
Yeah. And you got to fly as well.
Yes, I got to fly at the end. A low flying fly, but a fly. Which is always good fun in a dream.
Yeah. Oh, you fly a lot in your dreams, do you?
I actually do, yes. There's sometimes really great soaring flights over mountains and forests, but quite often the very low ones where you can only just manage to skim the, skim cars or trees or, whatever it is you're flying over.
And in that last bit, did you say you were flying over a rubbish tip or a garbage tip?
Piles of hard rubbish, just debris and rubbish that people put out on the road. We have had rubbish collections and just stuff, just like old TVs and chairs and broken things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Oh, that's so good. That's a lovely ending to the dream. Right. Oh, gosh, where do I start? I'm gonna give you a bit of an overview. I'm going to fly over your dream. And then I'm going to come in and ask you some questions so that we can get in properly. The general overview, as you've probably already got, there's a lot there with obviously the male side, and you're exploring your male side, who's represented both by the ill boy at the beginning and the Japanese doctor, and your questions about James and your brother and all of that sense. And also this dream is about your male side, because in the middle of it, you're saying to your mother, I would love to lean on somebody, but she doesn't want to listen, or lean on something, but she doesn't want to listen. So that's like the female side of yourself thinking, I want a male or a male side. I want some strength of my own to lean on. Sometimes the female side of myself doesn't want all the responsibility that I have to carry. So there's a sense that you have had in some, areas of your life to carry huge responsibility to like be male and female in a unconscious sense, to be out there and working and being really responsible for all your decision making and your empowerment and everything. But there's a part of yourself that really wishes that you didn't have to do all that, and that you could take more time to explore the female side aspects of yourself, your creativity, your emotions, your intuition, your spirituality. So a lot of this dream, with all these different male characters in it who all have either something that needs to be done to give them renewed strength, or the characters where you're questioning, well, what is what is your fertility? What is your strength? What are your powers? This is you exploring that side of yourself to, in all those aspects to find that out. And in the very last bit, the fact that you're in a sense looking for home, although you're going via the caravan, and we'll work out why that is later, there's a sense that at the end of the dream, you are going to a sense of home within yourself to sort things out. And I love that in going to sort things out, you actually notice the garbage that's been put out for collection. There's clearance happening in this dream. You're noticing it, you're witnessing it, and this is the way to get back home. So that's kind of like an overview, and obviously we're going to come back in, but that's the tack I'm going to take here.
Oh, it's making perfect sense so far.
Oh, good, that's great. and I do want to jump in about that Siamese cat too, because I know there'll be a lot of listeners thinking, there's an animal in the dream, there's an animal. What about, you've mentioned all these men, what about the animal? And do you have cats yourself, Lisa?
Well, I do, and I did have a Siamese cat. I had a very beloved cat when I was about 14, 15, 16, and so it was sort of that cat, but sort of a new one.
Okay, that's...
And I do have cats at the moment, yes, I'm a cat lover.
All right, but this particular Siamese cat reminded you a little bit of that cat that you had when you were 14, 15, 16. Yeah. Often when an animal comes into a dream, even if it's an animal that you have had, an animal will often represent our instincts. Animals have great survival instincts. Mm-hmm. And so often, particularly when we're feeling challenged by change, or we're feeling threatened in some way, it brings out our survival instincts, just like an animal that feels threatened will instantly snap to its survival instincts and display those. So because this Siamese cat came into your dream to be your constant companion, it may be that at the time of the dream, because the dream always reflects the last 24 to 48 hours, it may be that at the time of the dream, you were experiencing some kind of changes or wondering or feeling your survival slightly threatened or shaky, or you know, and your natural instincts that came up were the instincts of the Siamese cat. So if you think back to your own Siamese cat, the one that you had when you were 14 15 16, what were its particular instincts? Can you recall as you think about it?
Well, it was very much a people cat, and it was very attached to me. It was a very affectionate, loving cat, and a homebody cat, so it didn't sort of roam or run away or a couple of times it did, but we always managed to find it. But it was a very domesticated cat. With a much gentler sort of personality than Siamese sometimes have.
Okay, so that's interesting. It's much gentler than a Siamese usually has, and really basically
attached, just demanding. As you know, how they're often quite, they have a lot of personality and they can have a bit of attitude and they can be demanding. This one was a more passive sort of cat, actually.
Okay.
Very feminine sort of, you know, traditional sort of feminine cat.
Yeah, isn't that interesting that in your dream, Lisa, which is exploring the male side that you wish you could sort of offload onto somebody else. Your dream comes up with a suggestion that the survival instinct it would be to take forward as your constant companion, an animal that is really, you know, you mentioned passive there, but I guess in a sense, as you say, not as demanding, that can sit back more and be the more, you said, the more traditional female side, you know, that's the homebody, that loves people, is attached to people and affectionate, and is basically kind of able to enjoy the home environment, and basically enjoy being looked after instead of having to look after. So there's an instinct, for good or for bad, and I reckon for good, in the middle of your dream there, of this survival instinct. Look after me, please, love me. I do so much in the world. And you had that cat, Lisa, when you were age 14 to 16. Back at that time, was there any major change? Major change, age 14, 15, 16. Major change for everybody in those years. But is there any major change around areas of responsibility that jump out for you at the moment?
Oh, look, it was definitely a time of change. I was also living away from home in a boarding school situation. I left when I was about 13 and didn't return full time to live at home until I was 16. So certainly there was a certain independence as was expected of me, definitely.
So those were years of boarding school, a certain amount of independence expected of you, not really anybody looking after you, not really a home environment, having to fend for yourself.
And very much on a psychological level too, both quite literally and also, you know, with my family dynamics as well.
Yes, yeah. So how long ago did you have this dream, Lisa?
It was about a week ago.
So it will be drawing on your conscious and unconscious experiences of the day or two before that. So whatever happened for you then began to raise issues of taking responsibility, or wishing you didn't have to take so much responsibility, questions of empowerment of your male side, questions of which is fertility, really, you know, the strength of your male side, questions of wanting more to be able to explore your female side, questions of wanting to have a home, not necessarily just a home, but a home, you know, to come home to Lisa's heart, and all of that and so much more, which we'll go into, but all of that resonating with the issues that were going on for you when you were 14, 15, 16, and at such a young age, as you just said, that, you know, psychologically and emotionally and everything, really had to be independent. And most cats are independent, except that cat that you had back then. love me, I'm not an independent cat. So there's sort of issues of that. So I'd just like to ask you a few questions first, and then we'll really home in on your dream. Right at the beginning, you had the young boy, and then you had the jealousy from the woman in your room. Is she someone that you know in waking life, or was she a dream character?
Yes, she was sort of half my friend Melissa.
Oh, right.
So certainly my friend, who, interestingly enough, is actually the partner of the man James, who I'm curious about later on, and they're distinctively fertile. They've actually just had a baby, so it's an interesting sort of contradiction there.
That's dream stuff.
Yes, it sure is.
How would you describe Melissa, given that this character is kind of half like Melissa, how would you describe Melissa's personality in three words?
Well, great sense of fun, loving, and responsible.
Responsible. And how would you describe James?
He's a quieter version of her. He's loving, responsible, and quirky, actually.
Quirky. Okay, and we're just going to jump while we're on quirky, because your Japanese doctor was kind of quirky. He was a maverick, wasn't he?
A real maverick, in a much louder way than James actually is.
Okay, so was the Japanese doctor just a much more magnified James, or did he have additional qualities?
A certain unpredictability, which James doesn't have. Maverick Doctor was very much someone that you were never sure what he was going to do next. But there was also that strong sense that he was a reliable and a good friend, and a good doctor, a good healer, but a very odd personality.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. So going back to the beginning of the dream, you've got the young boy. Now, everyone in a dream is an aspect of yourself. So this young boy, how old was he?
Young, 18, 19, 20, and his name's Liam, by the way.
Liam, so it is somebody that you actually know?
Well, sort of, but not really. No, he had that name, but it's not actually the Liam that I know.
Okay. Liam. I'm just
saying. And interestingly enough, other dreams I've had recently are about boys called Liam.
Liam.
And all I can work out is that it's male, spelled backward, male as an email.
Oh, yeah.
And The Liam I know is perfectly grounded, quite strong young man. Not damaged from what I can gather at all.
It's also almost the male equivalent of, well, not quite, but they've got Lisa and Liam. There's some similarity there. Lisa, Liam. Liam. There's Am there. I am. L I am.
Yes.
There's some things like that in there, you know, which can sound a bit strange to some people listening in, but your unconscious mind is like that. You know, it sometimes plays with the shape of a word and, you know, and dissects it to L-I-M, Liam. Can you remember who the first Liam was that you ever knew?
Oh, probably a little child, actually. Just friends of my son's when in primary school, actually. Very little Liam said, I don't really have a strong sense of. This is probably the first person, and yeah, I mean, I don't even have a particularly strong sense of him. He's a, you know, very young man, but nothing really stands out apart from, the Liam I do know is quite sound and healthy. And
what's his personality as you see him, although you don't know him that well?
He's quite quiet. For someone that you really get sense there's much more to him. But there's much more to him. He's a quiet sort of person and very evenly spoken, but you do get the sense that he could be one of these ones who's out in the middle of the night sort of graffitiing all over the town or just, you know, that there's a secret life that you never quite get to know him, but at the same time he seems perfectly trustworthy and sound, I guess, a sound young man.
Okay, that's lovely. So if he is perfectly trustworthy and sound, then even if he has got a secret life, it's probably trustworthy. It's probably a sound one, because if he's trustworthy in his secret life, he would be trustable. So if everyone in a dream is an aspect of yourself, this L-I-M, this Liam, may represent the part of you that there is much more to. Because you said he's quiet, but there's much more to him. But there's much more to me, Lisa, and I have a secret life that maybe you know what that is, but maybe you don't know what that is at the moment. And you saw him in the dream as damaged. So it's like there is a male side of me. Everybody has a male and a female side, you know, and just to reiteration for everyone listening, you can also say that the female side is your right brain. It's the creative, intuitive, spiritual part of yourself that sees the big picture in life, and it's to do with your inner world. And the male side of ourself, you could say, is the left brain or the yang as opposed to the yin, and that male side is more the how you deal with the world out there. It's more logical, more rational, more competitive, and a number of other things as well. So in short, whether we're male or female, our male side tends to represent what we do out there in the world and how we interact with other people, and our female side tends to be more about our, in a sense, our secret life, and many of our quests are to bring that female side out from being secret and to be able to express our spirituality, our creativity, and so on. So because in your dream, Lisa, it opens with Liam being damaged or feeling that he's damaged, it's your own male side that you perceive in the dream has been damaged in some sense. And the damage is that there's more to him than he expresses. So the damage is perhaps that he is holding back something, a secret life that really needs to be lived and explored.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So it's fantastic in the dream that you're obviously, very wise in waking life, is that in the dream you recognize this damage and you want to heal and repair for him. And I love right at the beginning, you've got this milky white and blue, as you say, the nursery colors that then became the nursery colors, and you had the maternal instinct. So it's like, Lisa really want to heal this younger part of myself that I recognize here.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. It does. Really does, yes.
In the same token, because your dream then goes on to explore your mum that wasn't interested in hearing that you wanted to lean on somebody, and the issue of responsibility pervades the dream through the dream characters, there's a sense that in your younger life you probably had to take on a maternal role. Did you have to take on a maternal role for the family, brothers and sisters?
In not so much in a practical, but very much in an emotional way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of psychological, almost, I was going to say spiritual then, but a definitely a sense of emotional responsibility and holding it together on a on a psychic level, I guess.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. So that would have developed extraordinary and wonderful maternal instincts and abilities within yourself, a major, wonderful caregiver and wonderfully empathetic and all of these things. And some of that may be your secret life, but by the same token, it has probably robbed you on many occasions from having your own mother. You know, there's no mother figure in your life. You've had to take total responsibility. You've had to be the male and the female.
Yes.
Yeah, and so your male side, to some extent, has become damaged. It's a kind of a paradox, and dreams seem to be contradictory in that way. It's like, hey, I'm looking after the male side, but my male side is sick, but I've also had to develop a strong male side, so how come all this has happened, you know? But what your dream is really suggesting right up there in the front is that you know how to protect and, you know, as you say, psychically keep together the family, give emotional support to your brothers and sisters and people, how to be the wonderful mother. But to some extent, and earlier in your life, in making that an outward focus, you know, I'm going to look after you, I'm going to look after you, forgot to look after yourself, or were unable to look after yourself because so much of your focus was projected outward.
But I was just saying, yes, that's absolutely right.
Yeah. So something around the time of the dream, just over a week ago, triggered you to revisit that and to start to see that it's time to now put that attention on your own damaged male that has actually a secret life that it would like to express. So the things that you have held back because you've had to look after so many other people and play this role, the things that may have otherwise developed within you when you were, say, 14, 15, 16, it's now time to heal and bring those out. So we go there, and then, of course, you realize as you're healing them, and you've got this wonderful sense of, through the oral sex there, of empowering him, and that's the feeling that you said in the dream. It didn't feel sexual. It felt like bringing him to his full power. And this is a way, it's like by healing this part of yourself and bringing more of yourself out there and bringing the secret life out, you become empowered, fertile in many different ways in the world that you haven't been able to achieve until now.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's also good at that part of the dream, but then there's this question of the Melissa character going, but, you know, he's mine. I'm jealous. Leave him alone. That's, you know. So you then go, okay, right, so there's a part of myself that doesn't want me to do this. And that part of myself, you describe Melissa as fun, which is great, loving, which is great, and responsible. So my feeling there is that the part of yourself is, we've got to be responsible now. Is it leave him alone? I enjoy to some extent being responsible. And if you heal this part of myself, I'm maybe not going to be able to play this role of being responsible in the world. And that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Goodness gracious. All right. No, that hadn't appeared to me, but makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, Lisa, you know, just from a comfort zone point of view. If you spent so many years being responsible and you allow that to dissipate a little bit, I mean, you're still being responsible for your life, but you allow some other elements, the secret life, to come out. Even though that what's going to develop from that is good, there's a sense of, oh, God, this is out of comfort zone. What happens if I, you know, so it brings out all of that. And that's Melissa in the dream there. And that's why James's fertility is questioned right at the end, because he's also responsible. And what you really want to know at the end is, and I want to say more about this, but is, will I still be empowered when I come through all of this, you know, or what about the responsible part of myself? So sort of jumping quickly, we visit the caravan park. Did your mum ever live in a caravan park?
No.
So you describe the caravan park as people being basically drunk and slackers, used the word slackers, drunk and drugged.
Yes. And you should be having a lot of fun. It was all very good natured. But by and by, I think.
And you'd also describe Liam as maybe being damaged from drink or drugs or whatever.
Yes.
So you've got this sense of, like, drink and drugs is the way that we go unconscious, with the way that we, I don't want to be responsible to that. Just give me another drink, give me a drug. And the same with the caravan part. I don't want that responsibility. So my feeling there is that you may have over the years developed this wonderful responsibility that you've got because you want to get as far away from possible of any notion of slacking, being unconscious to life.
Well, it's interesting, though, because, of course, you know, and I'm you know, an old well, not an older person, but I have done my share of being irresponsible too in those sorts of ways. So it's not that simple. It's sort of, I've done that too. So I'm just really curious as to all the tying in all the threads that sort of, you know.
So if you say you've done that too, what kind of age, what age range would you give for that, Lisa?
I mean, for the age range?
Yes.
When I was being drinking and
drinking, drugging, passed out, unconscious, vomiting on the carpet.
Oh, look, it's not entirely left me. Oh, look, it was the 20s, from the sort of 10 years to 30, really.
Yeah. So there's, in a sense, you know, I'm guessing from that there was a backflip from taking all the responsibility from the family when you did what everybody else does anyway. Yeah. And do all of that stuff. And then in moving out from that into your 30s, perhaps taking this sort of more into this area of responsibility because you wanted to move away from that, you know, to put that way over in the other court. All the people that are slackers and drunken and everything in your dream, as you described them, will therefore represent both times in your own life when you have maybe been like that, and also your feelings about those kind of qualities and how much you don't want those in your life now. But what's interesting is that you actually go at the end of the dream, in order to get to home, you realize you have to go via the caravan park. So there's still this sense of flying over all the garbage, you know, the stuff that is actually, it's not garbage in the dream, as you've described it, it's the stuff that in Australia we our garbage people won't take because it's too big, like TVs and sofas and things and mattresses. But there are periods where we can put them on the grass verge outside and the council come and pick them up and recycle them. So we have already made the decision to remove something from our house, the sofa, the TV or whatever. It's already gone. We've done the clearance. It's just ready for picking up. So in your dream, it's like, I've already sorted out this some of this stuff that needs to be healed. I've looked at it. I've decluttered. And I have to fly over this one last time, go back to the caravan park have a last view of what I feel about this kind of slacker attitude, slacker being the opposite to responsibility according to your dream. And then I can take my Siamese cat kind of attitude and find my own home within me, which is not to retreat to a secret life again, but is to come from a power base of femininity and the female side, the creative, intuitive, spiritual side, rather than to come from a power base of either sort of ultra strong male in the world, but perhaps more not coming from a power point of being the ultimate mother that's got to keep the family together, but coming from the power point of being me, Lisa, and the secret life that I want to have. And I want to be a pampered cat. Thank you very much, without taking responsibility for all you other people.
Oh, yes.
It's Japanese doctor. Is he actually someone you know and making love to?
No, that one is really...
So what is it about Japanese? What does Japanese mean to you?
Well, actually, foreign. All I could work out for that was that it's probably, you know, sort of modern Japanese culture, I guess, would feel almost the most alien to me, with just the things that are really, really different. Just, you know, this incredibly rigid society in some ways, but this intensely consumerist society in other ways. But they're also very creative and fashionable. You know, the young Japanese or Japanese youth culture is very, very creative and very out there and very, very maverick in their ways of expressing themselves and the use of fashion. And I think I'm quite intrigued by that.
Yeah, that's probably the key there, because it's interesting, isn't it? If there's any Japanese people listening in, I would be interested in your thoughts on this as well. But it is interesting because I think from a Western point of view, we also notice how hard people in the Japanese culture tend to work, and they work for generations ahead of themselves, don't they, too? So there's that sense of looking after the family and heavy responsibility. And yet, as you say, particularly the young generation have this fantastic
paradox, isn't it?
Completely different. And you use the word maverick for the young people there too, which you also describe the doctor as having.
Yes.
So your first stop there for Japanese was totally alien. And you described basically a mix of something that's kind of a paradox of tradition versus maverick and out there. So alien territory, foreign territory. If I, Lisa, heal this part of myself and, become more the Siamese cat and get my secret life out there in a kind of powerful female way, but without the maternal instinct to help everybody else, then I'm going to be on totally alien territory here. It's like being Japanese. My God, people might see me as maverick. And what are they going to see when they see my real secret life? And maybe it's kind of, you know, a bit like the young Japanese generation.
Oh, goodness me. Yes.
Does that feel right?
Oh, look, it does. It does. Although, I mean, I think a lot of people already think of myself as me as maverick as well. So, look, it's all sort of these little tiny bits that I think are, you know, sort of almost yelling for attention or competing for their time in the world. Yeah, certainly makes sense.
It does, doesn't it? And so that's why you question at the very end of the dream. It's like, yeah, but if I'm going to be like that, if I'm going to be really maverick and out there, more maverick than people already know me, then you've got the question about James's fertility at the end. What about the responsible part of myself? Is that still going to be fertile? Is that still, so it comes down to the question of responsibility. How much more can I reveal this maverick self? Am I in danger of losing my sense of responsibility? These are all questions to ponder. And how do I feel about that?
Righty-ho.
Any questions on any of that, Lisa, or any filling out before we move to the dream alchemy section?
I think not, because it's sort of, it's whirling around my mind, all of these things that you're putting to me. Look, I think not. It probably will be later in about 2 days. I'll probably think, oh, goodness me, what's this bit about? But, I'm very happy to move on. It's fine.
Okay. I'm going to do a dream alchemy visualization, but I'm also tempted to give you a dialogue here. Do you like writing?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Just to reiterate, not just for you, but for other listeners that may not know what a dialogue is. So I'm going to do the dialogue with you. I'm going to give you the dialogue exercise and then give you a dream alchemy practice. So what a dialogue is, it's where you either get a piece of paper and a pencil, or you get on the keyboard. and mm-hmm. you turn off the phones and everything, and you allow yourself 5 or 10 minutes of silliness, and you have a conversation with a dream symbol. You give them alternate sentences.
Yes, okay.
And what you must do is write very fast or type very fast, so you must not think. So I'm going to just give a silly example. If I was talking to my microphone that I've got in front of me now, I might put, Jane Teresa, hello, microphone. Are you hearing me clearly? Microphone, oh, yeah, I'm a big microphone. Can you hear me clearly? Jane Teresa, oh, I didn't know microphone spoke. So you just be totally stupid, but you do it really, really fast. So what happens is that because you're talking to a dream symbol, which is dreamed up by your unconscious mind, if you do this really fast, your unconscious mind starts to write and reveal the meaning of the symbol.
Okay.
So what I'd like you to do later on is that, you know, when we finish recording this, is to do a dialogue between you and Liam.
Okay.
Right. And with the opening question, your opening question is, hello, Liam, can you hear me? All right.
Can
and then you go
me?
From there. Mm-hmm. That's not always the opening sentence, but I just felt that was because I just gave that example of the microphone. That was the one to do there. Now, moving on to the and then by doing that, things will come to you extra over above. So let's look at this dream alchemy visualization. What would you say out of all of this? What's the main change that you would like to bring into your life, having sort of begun to explore this dream?
Well, it's interesting because the pampered cat possibly comes closest to it, about really actually being deeply connected and loved and looked after in a way, but not in a disempowering sort of way where, you know, what my independence is reduced, but just being cherished, I think, is really what it's saying.
Okay, that's beautiful.
So that would be the question is, how can I be more cherished?
Yeah. Okay, so we'll do the visualization with the Siamese cat that's got to be by your side, and we'll get some of that in there. And let me just have a think here. To be more cherished. I think we're just going to home right in on that symbol and get that feeling going there. Because the end of the dream was really just questions being fed back to you about responsibility. And I know that you're going to explore those. And, you know, and on an overall sense, the main limitation in your dream that is revealed, Lisa, is responsibility and arch maternalism and caring for other people. So that's the thing that's been limiting the, you know, unconsciously, the secret life coming out even more than the maverick you has now. So that's the thing, and I know that consciously you'll work with that too, but by doing the dream alchemy visualization around the Siamese cat, what we're going to do is encourage the Siamese cat aspect of your instincts and your unconscious mind to allow you to be more cherished, as you said, but not in a disempowering way, but in a more cared for and cherished way. And in allowing yourself to be that, a natural outcome of that is to not overdo the responsibility or maternalism thing, if we allow that to happen. Does that seem to make sense to you?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Okay. So let me just think, how will we do this? Okay. I'll run it past you, and if it feels good, we'll do it. What we might do is get you to visualize being at the end of the dream, and you actually fly over the debris, over the caravan park, and go to a beautiful place, which we're going to call home, but it can look like anything you'd like it to look like. It can look like an actual house. It can look like your house. It can look like a tree, a sacred spot, anything. And I might ask you what that is in a minute. And then when you get there, we'll have your Siamese cat to do that little trip with you. And when we get there, we'll get you to sit down, and we'll get the Siamese cat to go behind you and actually hug you from behind and give you this amazing sense of being cherished by the cat. I don't want to sit the cat on your lap because that's back to a maternal, your maternal. Would that kind of thing feel that you'd be then able to absorb that feeling of being cherished?
Oh, I think so. And I think making the cat bigger than me too, I'm sort of getting the sense of the cat growing and growing and sort of to be the same size, actually.
Excellent. We'll definitely do that.
That's nice.
And what would you like to picture for your home?
Well, I've already got a vision of a really lovely house that is in a very natural and beautiful place with a lot of trees, and it's quite a low-key, very calm sort of house with lots of nice wood and, but lots of colourful cushions and
beautiful
home furnishings, and it's all rather lovely, actually.
Okay, so we'll get you to see that, and we'll get you to come in and actually sit on the colourful cushions, because that's part of the cherishing. Okay, you ready to go?
Yes, most definitely.
Close your eyes. Okay, Lisa, you're at the end of your dream and you're flying, doing this beautiful low flying, only this time you realise that you've got that Siamese cat with you and he's flying as well, and you're flying over all the debris that's been put out, and with each piece that you fly past, you let it go, you let it go, you let it go. You fly over the top of the caravan park, you see all the slackers, you let it go, you let it go, you let it go. And now still flying with the Siamese cat, you see your beautiful house. And you see the trees, and as you fly in, you're flying in now, and you're settling down on the ground, and both you and the cat walk in hand, so to speak, into the house, and you find that particularly beautiful room at the heart of the house with all those colourful cushions, and you sit down, and you feel really cherished and nice, and the cat now walks behind you, and although you can't see the cat, you feel him or her hugging your back, and as this happens, you feel her getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it feels absolutely amazing until she's as big as you, or maybe even slightly bigger, and you can even lean back ever so slightly and let go, and it feels so good to be cherished, and you can absorb all that energy, because that Siamese cat from this point in time is always there, just right behind you, supporting you, and you can feel and summon up that energy whenever you wish, of just feeling cherished in an oh so powerful and slightly maverick way.
Perfect.
I feel good.
That's perfect.
So when this when your episode goes out, which is actually a week on Friday, you'll be able to really listen to all that again and grab it. But I have the feeling that you've got that on board now, that visualization, have you?
Yes, I've got a big smile on my face.
A Cheshire Cat kind of smile.
Yes, I'm just looking up.
Got a bit of Alice in Wonderland there with the big cat, you know. As usual, Lisa, with our Dream Alchemy visualization, do it 20 times a day for a couple of weeks. And it does get easier as you practice it. It gets quicker. You can do it in groups, you know, 3 or 4 times at a go, whatever. And then so it's about 20 times a week, a day for a couple of weeks, and then twice a day for about 4 weeks more. But at any moment where you just think, I really need that now, just get that feeling of, oh, yeah, the Siamese cat's behind me. I can feel that. And that slight lean back and that slight sigh out, you know, cherished maverick me.
How lovely.
Yeah.
Really lovely. And the dialogue, that would be just something I'd do once or again if I felt I needed it.
Just do it once with the Liam character from your dream and see what comes out of it. Sometimes you just get extra enlightenment and insight, and sometimes the dialogue continues and actually begins to transform within the dialogue, and you'll know what I mean if that happens. Yeah, and you can do that with any character or thing from a dream at any time. That, you know, everybody listening, any particularly bizarre symbol in your dream, it can be a good idea to do a dialogue with it. So once only process, it only takes 5 or 10 minutes because that's all you're allowed, and it can be very enlightening.
Okay.
Thanks so much for sharing your dream, Lisa.
Yes, well, thank you. That's really fascinating.
Okay, enjoy.
It's fun. Thanks, Jane.
Hey, couldn't we all do with lots of cherishing and lovely soft cushions? So, you know, even though for some of us there are unconscious limitations that stop us from doing that, it's a lovely reminder to all of us to just actually go for a bit of cherishing and soaking it all up from time to time. I think you will have learned lots from that. Please share this episode to help make people feel comfortable about sexual dreams and to maybe encourage them to explore them so that they get some great insights and outcomes, such as Lisa's had there. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. Remember, you can find me very easily on Facebook, and come over, tell me what you think of the show, interact there, even just come and like the page so that I know you're out there. We're listened to in 26 countries and growing. It's fantastic. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.